Thank you for traveling with Amex Platinum. To your right, you'll see Oceanside Relaxation at a fine hotel and resort property. When booked through Amex Travel, you can enjoy complimentary breakfast for 2 and 4 p.m. late checkout. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
I'm so excited to tell you JCPenney and country music singer-songwriter Walker Hayes are partnering together on a new limited-time men's collection for the everyday guy. What I love about Walker Hayes is his laid-back nature. He's a family man, and being a country megastar while also having 7 kids, you know he likes to keep his style cool and casual. This new collection is perfect for the guy living the t-shirt life or someone wanting some fresh options that feel just as good. It's easy to wear, affordable styles that celebrate the ultimate family man, along with the quality, durability, and sensibility dads appreciate. Available online Saturday, May 4th at jcp.com and in-store Thursday, May 16th. Just in time for Father's Day. Limited time only. JCPenney, make it count.
Looking to step up your Mother's Day flowers? The Home Depot has an idea. Let Mom's green thumb do some digging with colorful flowers, pots, and premium soils to bring out the most in her patios, walkways, and gardens. Right now, get Vigoro Potting Soil, just $8.97 for strong, healthy, vibrant plants indoors and outside. Shop our wide selection online and pick up your order in-store and give Mom the gift of a beautiful garden. Get Vigoro Potting Soil, just $8.97 at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Hello and welcome to the MMPB NFL Podcast. I'm Kerry Bramling.
And I'm Connor Orr.
And Connor, we have 3 big topics we're going to be covering today. One being the latest on the Deshaun Watson cases. The fact that he has now settled all but 4 of them. We're going to talk a little bit about, boy, that oversight committee hearing on Wednesday and all the wackiness, we'll call it, surrounding Daniel Snyder and Roger Goodell testifying there. Boy, it was a mess. And then, of course, the retirement of an all-time great. I'm just going to tease it like that as if people don't follow organized football and don't know who we're talking about. Maybe you'll stay tuned in. But for all of this, we are bringing in our good friend, NFL insider of Sports Illustrated, Albert Breer. Albert, this was fun is probably not the word for the last like 2 days, but it's been a lot. It's been a lot unfolding here on a lot of different angles.
I'm trained to like get bad news this time of year because this is always when we're all on vacation. You know, late June, mm-hmm. early July. I believe Connor's probably more up on this than me because he used to cover this team, but I think that this was the period of time when Jason Pierre-Paul blew his hand off with fireworks. So
sure
there's always, yeah, there's always some things that happen in late June and early July that I would say fall into the bad news bucket, and some of them are more grim than others, no question about it.
Players used to always, I remember when we used to break for camp, like mandatory mini camp going into the summer. And the attitude was always like, you know, don't you guys ruin my summer? Like from players to media, like, don't you do something to mess up my summer? And I'm sitting here thinking, don't you do anything to mess up my summer? Like, right. I don't want anything to do with you. If I'm writing about you this summer, it's because you did something bad, not me.
I'll never forget, like, you know, where I was when Steve McNair died, you know, like, cause it was 4th of July. I was at a cookout and, I was still pretty early covering the NFL then. I think it was 08, 09, somewhere in there. And yeah, I mean, like the potential to like sort of get pulled out of things happens. And You know, like I said, like some of them are like JPPs, and then you have others that are a little bit more grim than that. But yeah, there's definitely, Connor, there's that speech that I think every coach gives them, you know, on their way out, which is don't be an idiot, basically, in no uncertain terms.
Yeah. When really, what you know, everyone should just, they should just build that Simpsons movie bubble. I know that Gary doesn't like post 1996 Simpsons, but like Simpsons movie, was that?
Did we
that
all saw the movie, you? Though.
Yeah, like, you saw the movie, right?
I agree. Like, I think the Simpsons fell off. I remember I was in college from 98 to 02, so I remember the Simpsons fell off when I was in college. But everybody went and saw the movie.
Yeah, I mean, the movie it was a celebration of it. It wasn't good, but, you know, it kind of honored it. It was okay. But
yeah, trap them all in the bubble. Don't let them leave. You know,
right.
that's really, yeah, keep everybody on the hamster wheel.
Something about Homer on a motorcycle.
He Evel Knievels the bubble to get out. Do you remember?
Yeah.
And then
classic sitcom stuff.
Womp womp.
Anyways, we're gonna get lighter as the show goes on, and also Albert is going to take America's least favorite quiz show, more than four but fewer than six questions at the end here. But we're gonna start with the Deshaun Watson news. All but four of the cases have now been settled. Undisclosed, it is confidentiality agreements. We will theoretically never find out what the specifics are of these settlements thus far, but this was the first step, really, since this all started to unfold in March 2021, that there's been even any incremental move towards closure on any of this.
Yeah, and I think, like, this is, you know, you sort of wonder what's behind it sometimes. And, you know, I the one thing I'd sort of kind of wondered here is, as the NFL came closer to finishing its investigation, whether or not Roger might put pressure on Jimmy Haslam to tell Deshaun to settle. Because I think part of the issue the NFL has now is what we've seen unfold over the last couple of weeks with Jenny's report in the Times, and then, you know, obviously the 23rd and 24th lawsuits, that new information could become available. You know, and the only way that they could, I think, feel comfortable that there was going to be some level of closure here is if these cases started to get settled. So you do wonder, like, after he was so adamant, you know, over the last few months, really the last year and a half, that he wanted to clear his name, what prompted the settlements now, and whether or not it was something like what almost happened in November when, or in October, when, you know, potential trade to the Dolphins got them close to settling all the cases too.
Yeah, and we should point out, a settlement is not necessarily an admission of guilt, much in the same way that the grand jury no bills was not an exoneration of him, which, by the way, Houston District Attorney Kim Ogg said on a podcast. Boy, where's the time go here? I guess that was late last week or early this week. I'm not sure anymore. This all just goes in slow motion. But that was Mike Meltzer's podcast, by the way. Mike Meltzer's a good dude down in Houston. As far as this goes right now, what we, you know, Sports Illustrated, we have had our reporting on this, and we certainly stand on that reporting. Jenny certainly stands on the reporting she's continued to do since joining the New York Times. What no one has a real good grasp on at this point is where the NFL specifically stands as far as their investigation goes. And Albert, if you could fill us in with any snippets of information there, but also just sort of run down, it's a new process here.
Process,
I mean, this is unprecedented for a number of reasons. The cases themselves are unprecedented, but also this is the first time the NFL is going through this new process from the most recent CBA.
Right, and part of the reason, yeah, like you said, is that this is, you know, we're early in the new CBA, so we really haven't come to the point where we've had to, where the NFL's had to go through this sort of process with such a high-profile case. And, you know, like, part of it was, like, the NFL didn't want to be judge, jury, and executioner anymore. And this, you know, stems back to the Ezekiel Elliott case and, you know, Jerry Jones basically saying, what are we doing? You know, kind of trying to get ahead of the law on this stuff. And, you know, I think the NFL had gone through enough PR issues over the last 7 or 8 years trying to play judge, jury, and executioner that the idea was to hand it off. So that's what they've done. And You know, really what's the way the process breaks down, the NFL's lead investigator, Lisa Friel, she runs the inquiry into Deshaun Watson. She has her findings. She presents her findings to Watson's camp, to the NFLPA, to the NFL. Then she passes the case to Sue Robinson, who is a former U.S. district judge and a district court judge. And she then hears the cases of both sides. Then she makes a recommendation on punishment. If there is no punishment, if she finds that there's no violation, then the case is over. If there is a punishment, then Roger Goodell or his designee step in, and then they have the power to alter the punishment one way or another. Both the league and then the union have the ability to appeal that decision after that, and then you get past that and the final decision is rendered. So it's a, I think, more complex, more drawn-out process than it's been in the past, but the idea is that it might be more fair because you've got an independent party making a decision on that. As for where this is right now, Gary, I would say the big date that was sort of, I mean, over the last month or so that's been pointed out to me is June 30th, which is the deadline for pretrial discovery.
Mm-hmm.
I would say with the settlement of these cases, and the reason you'd wait for that deadline is because then I think you feel comfortable that the most information is available, right? I'd say that that deadline becomes less relevant now with 20 of the 24 cases settled. That said, I mean, I don't have a calendar in front of me. Is it 22nd? That's 8 days away.
Yeah.
So that's why, you know, I think I've been pretty consistently saying that I think a decision is going to come at some point in July.
Okay. And just backing up slightly, the appeal would go to Goodell, right? Like if one side, I guess it would be weird if the NFL appealed its own final ruling, but the PA would have to appeal.
Yes, the appeal goes to Goodell. It's in there because it could be a designee. And Roger could well decide here. And I don't know. I don't think this decision has been made yet, but Roger could well decide, you know what? I don't think it's right that I have this decision, or he may just not want to make the decision, you know, because of the issues they've had making these sorts of decisions in the past. And he could certainly appoint a designee, in which case, you know, Sue Robinson's decision would then go to the designee, and the designee would make the decision, and the designee would be the one that would be responsible for the appeals after Sue Robinson's decision.
Not to make light of any of this, but like that, wouldn't that be the most corporate move in the history of corporate bosses? Is like the punishment is ready, like Roger Goodell has to weigh in, and then he just calls like the summer intern. He's like, "Hey, do you want to handle this? I'm gonna,
it'll look real good on your LinkedIn."
I had a chiropractor's appointment that I can't move it. So if you want to just finalize the Deshaun Watson suspension, I'll be down the road. You could always text me. Good luck.
I think it's like, honestly, like I do wonder if that's in play, or if like, cause you look at this two ways. Like, does Roger think this is something that requires my involvement because it's such a serious, that the accusations are so serious and the evidence is so vast, like that Roger feels like I need to take care of the league here. Like I need to make sure this decision is the one that I need to make 100% sure that the decision that's made here has our fingerprints on it. Right. Or does he look at it and say, we've gotten ourselves into a lot of trouble in these in the past. We botched the Ray Rice situation. We botched the Greg Hardy situation. We botched the Josh Brown situation. We don't want to be involved in these anymore. And he just goes and says, I'm going to appoint a designee and we're good. I think the idea that either thing could happen, like to me, there's logic to both of them, you know?
Yeah, you could, right? Does Goodell want this to be a legacy-defining moment? And I know that he wants to see the NFL through a certain period of time that will take him beyond the public's recollection of Deshaun. I mean, yes, we all remember Ray Rice, but, you know, how much of a factor is that in his overall legacy? I'm not sure, you know, and I think Goodell wants to work until even the Deshaun thing is behind him, but something else will come up inevitably. You know, I mean, the NFL is a microcosm of our population. And so I think that it's going to be interesting to see how he views this personally. Is this a legacy play, or is this, I'm leaving the NFL in a better place because I'm not the one, or my predecessor is not the one that's going to be kind of jerking around with this stuff?
And could it be affected too by what Sue Robinson decides? You know, because if, like, the league's already asked for a year suspension, or is at least in that ballpark. That's what I've been told. I know Mark Maskey at the Post reported that. And so if Sue Robinson comes down and says it's going to be a year, then does he go one way? And if Sue Robinson says, no, we're going to go six games here, does he go another way as far as how he handles that last part of the process? I think that part of it's interesting too.
Do you want to hear my chaos theory on it? Can I espouse this? We're a reputable news outlet. Time to throw some shit against the wall. So by letting out there the fact that they want a year suspension, are you really saying, like, we're being tough, and then you hope that it comes back a little less, and then you say, right, well, our hands are tied here. We tried to be tough, but this person, and, you know, and then say, like, well, we wanted more, but this is what she did, and, you know, it kind of sweep it under the rug that way.
For those people that haven't been paying as close attention to this, the PR war is already underway.
Yeah.
I mean, like, the NFL has gotten it out there and made it public that they want a year. The NFLPA has got it out there that they think that would be unfair based on what happened to Jerry Richardson and Robert Kraft and Jerry Jones, right? Like, they've put those three names out there. So, like, if you're really paying close attention to what's going on here, and I think you guys would agree with this, it's pretty clear that both sides think it's important that they get their side of the story out. The NFL wants to make itself look like it's being tough and being, you know, and having a zero tolerance policy when it comes to this stuff. And the union is basically explaining why it would argue, with such heinous accusations out there, for Deshaun Watson not being disciplined at all. And so both sides have already gotten their side of they've both gotten their angles out there. And yeah, you know, now it'll be interesting to see how Sue Robinson looks at all of it.
The thing that's interesting to me from a PR standpoint is, I don't think your sort of average casual fan who's going to weigh in on this, everyone's going to weigh in on it, I don't think they realize that Sue Robinson exists. I think those of us who cover the league realize that. But I think whatever comes down, what I'd be curious to see how this kind of unfolds is, will we know what Sue Robinson specifically ruled? Will we know if the NFL, you know, if it's a case where Sue Robinson said eight games, the NFL said, you know, on appeal, we're going to do a year. Will we know about those machinations, or will this simply be a matter of, we'll just see the final product? Because I don't think anyone will differentiate between Roger Goodell and not Roger Goodell's when the final number comes out.
I think what you're asking, Gary, it depends if it benefits somebody, right?
Yeah.
If it benefits somebody to have how the sausage was made out there, mm-hmm. well, then the process of getting the sausage made will be in print somewhere, right? Like, I think that's what it boils down to. If there's some level of agreement or compromise, then I think they'll probably work to keep all of it private, you know? And if this is, and sometimes these cases are handled that way, where there is like a de facto settlement, right? Like, where it's like the NFL could offer like a plea bargain, more or less, and say, listen, here's what we're thinking. If you take this now, we'll close the book on it. And that could happen. That's happened in cases in the past. I think to some degree that's what happened with the Roethlisberger case. It'll be interesting to see if that happens, because if that doesn't happen and there's disagreement to the very end, well, then you would think that it would be of some either side's benefit to get their story out there.
I hope there's another TikTok. What was the Wall Street Journal story inside the Goodell thing where there was pizza and nobody ate the pizza? Do you remember what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah. Which one was that?
That rings a bell. Yeah. I can't remember what that was.
I forget what...
No, it was no one ate the pizza before Goodell had grabbed a slice or something.
I think the point was that Goodell was so worked up that he couldn't eat the pizza. And because Goodell wasn't eating the pizza, nobody ate the pizza.
And which, the pizza, like, went cold.
I mean, which, by the way, like, I don't care who you are. If I'm in a conference room and I'm staring at just slowly decaying pizza and nobody's touching it, like, I'm the fire starter there. I'm getting that pizza.
Was it like five boxes, like, sitting in the middle of the conference table, or was it just one pizza? Do we know?
Goodell had him in his lap.
Like, if there was a limited supply of pizza, that could change the dynamic, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
if there's
five boxes stacked there, you might feel more at liberty to go get a piece, you know?
You could argue that the Wall Street Journal has had two of the best Goodell stories of the last, like, decade. There was the fake Roger Goodell Twitter account, or there was the Roger Goodell adjacent Twitter account, and then there was the Roger Goodell pizza. So it was during Ray Rice.
The fake account was, like, it was his wife that was running it, right?
It was his wife, yeah.
Right. Was that Deflategate related, I believe, right?
The Maybe. Deflategate thing was, yes.
Yeah.
If I'm mistaken, yeah. And then, yeah, the pizza thing was during Ray Rice, and, yeah, I mean, more importantly than anything, nobody had the pizza. It's just, you know.
It's kind of sad.
They huddled in the night in an effort to figure out ways to prove the commissioner wasn't covering something up. They ordered pizza, but nobody ate it because they waited for Goodell to eat first. But Roger Goodell did not eat the pizza. So
that's a fantastic anecdote. I'm kind of jealous.
I know. You work your whole career to get something like that, you know? Yeah. Honestly. It's just, yeah.
Going to be a standard question in every interview.
Who ate the pizza?
Well, Roger Goodell has been such a good heat shield for the league over the years. And Wednesday, I guess, was one of those cases. He was in front of the House Oversight Committee in Washington, D.C. He did it via Zoom. But, man, this thing went off the rails so quickly. And look, we can get into some of the wackiness in a little bit. Certainly, if you want to somehow feel even worse about our federal government at this point, this is pretty good viewing. But the big takeaway I want to get to here is Daniel Snyder obviously had been invited to testify and declined. Now, according to Carolyn Maloney, the U.S. rep from New York's 12th District, Daniel Snyder will now be subpoenaed for a deposition next week, as this continues to drag out, all the just awful behavior that has been alleged that went on in the commander's front office, and, you know, all the allegations that Daniel Snyder participated and knew about all of this. But I guess my question now is, it seems like we've been hurtling toward this endpoint, but then the endpoint keeps on sort of hurtling back with it. Is there any chance that Daniel Snyder is pushed out in the way that, you know, Jerry Richardson was? Because it feels like everything continues. I don't know. What's the metaphor I'm looking for here? It's like we're piling stuff up and it's like, oh, when's it going to hit the ceiling? And then you look up and like, oh, wait, there is no ceiling. Like, it's just going to continue to pile up right to infinity.
I don't know what the analogy is, but I honestly thought it was notable going back to the Super Bowl that Roger actually explained the process for voting an owner out, because Roger's so careful about what he says, especially when it concerns, let's call him, his 31 bosses, right? You know, mm-hmm. The Packers obviously not applying to that, that I can't imagine, like, he actually would go through the process for voting an owner out the way he voluntarily did in L.A. a few days before the Super Bowl without getting sign-off from some of the other owners. Now, like, my understanding is, like, they haven't come close to the idea of actually sitting down and having a vote, because I don't think any other owner wants to set that precedent. I don't think, I mean, like, these guys all have dirt under their fingernails. They don't want other people digging through their trash. I don't think that they want to go through the process of voting one of their own out. But that doesn't mean they're above trying to pressure him and try to raise the temperature in the room to the point where Daniel Snyder would feel the amount of shame it would take to sell a team. And that, obviously, that threshold is a lot higher in this case than it is than it was in the case of Jerry Richardson.
Mm-hmm.
What Jerry Richardson did was horrible, too. You can say this for him. A lot of people think that they forced him out. They didn't. The story ran in SI, and he left on his own volition and did it for a lot of the reasons I'm pointing out here. He didn't have, you know, a succession plan, so that was part of it. Obviously the value of the franchise was, you know, at an all-time high. But I think part of it, too, was, like, it's just time for me to walk away. I don't think Snyder's ever going to feel – I don't know if Snyder will ever feel that level of shame. But I wonder how high the temperature is going to get turned up on him, because I do think other owners want him out and want him out without having to vote him out. And so it'll be interesting to see how stuff leaks out over the coming months if he comes out of this and still has the team, where maybe other owners find creative ways to turn the temperature up to try to force him to sell.
Gary, do you want me to fix your metaphor?
Yeah, please.
I think I nailed it, right? So what's going on here is sort of like my dishwasher in college, or my sink in college, right?
Yep.
And, you know, it's like the first time in your life that you live with roommates and someone isn't doing your dishes for you, and, like, they start to pile up and you're just like, well, I mean, I'm like, we can't physically use the sink. Somebody is going to have to wash these dishes. And no, it just, you figure out ways to shove more stuff into the sink. And then it just keeps getting higher and higher until one day we just say, let's just throw away all the dishes.
No, right? You know what the breaking point is? It's like it turns into like a Jenga tower, right? Yep. Like where you don't want to be the one who puts the dish on top, this knocks a bunch of others off, and now all of a sudden there are broken dishes everywhere. So that's the breaking point. It's like the Jenga tower. You know what I mean?
For us, it was, I'll never forget this. So it was this mass of disgusting, like a half a semester's worth of dishes, and we picked up a roommate halfway through the process when another one left, and there were just like Campbell's soup cans in there as well, so there was the residue from the soup that was leaving sort of a smell. And then the breaking point was someone just came over one day, and this is the most random thing ever. Someone came over to our college house and made us like a full salmon dinner for no reason. And like we had
not, goodness of their heart.
Yeah, like it was somebody's friend who was just like, I just bought, like, we're all college kids, who can afford like Atlantic salmon? It was just like, yeah, I just bought all this salmon. Do you want me to cook it at your house? And we're like, yeah, it'd be great. And then once that started to decay in the sink amid all the other stuff, that's when it became untenable. And I think one of our downstairs roommates, there was downstairs and upstairs rooms, one of the downstairs people was like, I've had enough. I'm going to clear out my entire Sunday, and this is going to be what happens. So
yeah, I have a more disgusting example where it was like in the basement of my frat house, we had those giant trash cans, you know? And so like somebody at some point would have to take the trash out. And so it would turn into the same concept where everybody's like at the end, like you're like literally like placing like trash on top of like the can and trying to make sure that it didn't spill all over the place. So
Gary's like, you guys are pigs, man.
Gary's offended.
Jeepers.
Oh, how come you guys didn't just have your butler did it like I did in college?
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by 3-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game, King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going exactly. guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on
I'm
top
not
of it.
Like that. See that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't it?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cb for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Let's get to Gronk here. Rob Gronkowski announces his retirement for the second time, and I guess it's not completely 100% over. I think we could all, I guess, envision a future where he comes back. The one thing that's, I mean, look, I'm glad he is getting out of here before he, I don't know, gets his knees destroyed another time, but I thought last year, I thought he was like moving as well as he had since like early in his career. He just looked a little more, he was playing a little lighter, but also he just looked, he looked like young Rob Gronkowski. It was neat.
Yeah, you know what? Like, I think this is a good development too, like, because we've talked about the Patrick Willises and the Calvin Johnsons of the world, and you know, I said this when Gronk retired the first time. I feel this way now, too. To me, it's a great development. And I think it means three things for players, right? Like, I think it's happening for three reasons. Number one, players are making more money. So the best players have more financial freedom to do this, to walk away when they want to walk away, right? Number two, players have more information on what football does to their bodies. So they're more cognizant of what this could mean for them when they're 50 or 60 years old to keep playing. And then number three, I think guys are being more aggressive about figuring out what they want to do after they're done playing. And so it's not this black hole after football for them. Like, you see, like, I think Ryan Clark's a great example of it. Like, he was doing television before he retired, right? Like, so, and Gronk obviously had the gap year in 2019 where he didn't play. And so he actually already had a taste of it. And so, like, that, like, really is sort of my first takeaway on this. And we can talk about how great a player he was. But, like, I think, like, the idea of guys walking away early is a really good development when it comes to just, you know, where players are at and their place in the sport and, you know, kind of what they're able to do at the end of their careers and the decisions they're able to make and creating a scenario where they can walk away on their own terms.
I'm not doing it. I'm not writing about it. I'm not talking about it because
he's coming back.
Everybody that's associated with Tom Brady, I just don't. Everything is part of a larger plan, like for them to buy like a Formula One team and then sell it to the Cardinals and then replace Kyler Murray at quarterback and Rob Gronkowski is going to be the head coach until Tom Brady's 50. Like, something is going to happen that they have already planned out that is above my pay grade. It involves cryptocurrency and I don't want to write about it. I don't want to talk about it. I remember when Tom Brady retired the first time, I think I wrote a Tom Brady, like a goodbye Tom Brady thing at like halftime of the Bills Chiefs game. Is that right? Does that line
that
up?
That sounds right. That's like, that was right around. Yeah, you know what that is? That's definitely right, because I remember where I
Yeah. And I remember, you know.
No. It would have been championship weekend, right?
Championship weekend?
Okay. Yeah.
It would have been championship weekend because he played divisional playoff weekend.
Okay, right.
The Bucks
and
the Rams played divisional playoff weekend.
You're right. So it would have been that weekend. And I remember, like, you know, if you're going to write a column about something like that, that magnitude of a player walking away, you do. You have to grab something from inside of you. You have to get a little emotional. And I was like, wow, Tom Brady's finally done. And what does this mean? What did this mean to me? And what did this mean to other people? And I thought about it a lot. And then I did it. And wrote it. And then I remember having dinner with my family like 2 weeks later, and he unretires, and then you got to write the unretirement column. And I said, I'm done. I'm done with anybody involved in that network, and not like they're going to shed any tears because they're not going to get a Connor or a goodbye column, you know, but they're just not happening. And I'm not entertaining it, and they can do whatever they want, but I think that they're messing with me somehow. So good luck to you, Rob Gronkowski. I'll get the emails about the CBD company, whatever you want to do, but I'm not buying it for 1 second.
That Sunday night, like, the Brady unretired was horrific for me. That was just terrible timing.
That was a top fiver for me. Although I'll tell you what, nothing compares to.
And it turned out it was, and you're right, Connor, because it turns out it was like a Dolphins ownership play.
Yep.
The whole retirement.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
And so I think that Tom and Rob are going to sell their NFT company to buy enough to get a stake in some random NFL franchise. And then Rob Gronkowski is going to become head coach. Tom Brady's going to become quarterback. And effectively the head coach, and then he's going to replace Rob Gronkowski once he's done playing football. That's my.
Do you want to hear my hot take on him as a player, though?
Yeah,
I think the most impactful skill position player of his era.
I would agree, okay. Especially.
I think he is. I would rather have him than a great receiver. Any great
totally
receiver.
Totally agree.
I would rather have him than Julio. I would rather have him than Dez Bryant, Demaryius Thomas, whoever. You know, I would rather have him than any of those guys. The reason why. Is because I think, like, if we talk about where football is going with formationing and, you know, the different personnel groupings and everything else, this guy was the ultimate queen on the chessboard. Like, you are literally, and we can do football nerd stuff here if you guys want, like, you're literally in, like, 11 and 12 personnel at the same time when you break the huddle with him. Like, it's, all right, like, if you want to put a fifth DB on the field, Gronk will block him into the third row and will run for 10 yards. If you want to put a third linebacker on the field, well, then that guy's got to cover Gronk and you're in deep shit. Like,
yeah.
I mean, it's like every single play was that, you know? And I think a great tight end like that's really hard to find. And, I mean, Connor did a great story on the economics with the Ravens and everything else and how they've played this. But I think part of it is they're really hard to find. So the market hasn't moved up as fast because there aren't as many. Like, you know, if there are 25 great receivers, then they're going to keep leapfrogging each other and the market's going to keep going up. If there are only like four or five truly unique tight ends, then that market isn't going to move as fast. So, like, I think for a number of different reasons, like, the pay hasn't been commensurate with what, you know, with his value. But, you know, I think about, like, what he did for those teams. And, you know, like, I was talking to Billy O'Brien about it, and he was like, we would go fast because we knew they couldn't get guys on and off the field when we did that because Gronk was out there. Like, they were going to be in a bind no matter what, like, specifically because of Rob Gronkowski. Like, the defense was in a bind. And I don't know how many players are like that where it's not just, oh, yeah, we'll just put two guys on him. You know what I mean? Like, as great as Julio was, it could be, let's go, but we can put two guys on him. With Gronk, like, the bind he put you in was so different.
Well, speaking of football nerds, back before he was a Super Bowl champion, Andy Benoit, for the old MMQB special mag issue that came out back in, what was that, September 2016, wrote a piece on Rob Gronkowski and a lot of the stuff we covered, although Andy, of course, does it in greater detail. Yep. And just all around better than the three of us do it. But I'll link to it in the show notes. But if you're hitting the old Ask Jeeves, ask it for Rob Gronkowski, football mastermind, and you can read all about it.
And member of the Peter King coaching tree.
That's right.
Yeah.
Absolutely. By the way, I was totally paying attention to you guys when you were talking about Rob Gronkowski, but I was also looking up the exact passage from the Wall Street Journal story about the pizza. If you want, before we get to the quiz, do you want the exact wording about the pizza.
Dramatic yes. reading, yeah, okay. absolutely.
Yeah, I'll do a, I don't know, Shelby, do we have some sort of like a dark, ominous sort of thing in here that we can...
Like mystery music?
Yeah, like I want to say like...
Something synth-heavy, maybe?
Yeah, it's almost like a mix between Stranger Things and The Warriors, you know?
That's pulling from two very different eras.
Shelby, come
although
on.
Although I guess like where Stranger Things was yeah. set, like maybe yeah. it, there is some crossover. Like, yeah.
yeah, Shelby, come on. Don't you just have that off the top
Shelby,
of your mind? Yeah.
Could you find that in 4 seconds, please?
Oh, okay. Yeah, this is good. This is good. Late into the night on September 10th, executives in the NFL conference room brainstormed over ways to prove the commissioner wasn't covering up for Mr. Rice. Pizzas arrived, but no slice was taken until Mr. Goodell ate. He never did, and the slices turned cold in the pot.
Who's the is this a Kevin Clark story? Who's the author?
Monica Langley.
Oh boy. That's pretty good.
I don't know if Kevin would have written it quite as dramatically.
I need to know who ordered the pizza. How many pizzas? What
Where's
kind
the pizza,
of pizza
from is important
yeah.
too.
Yeah. Yeah. If it was Sbarro, you let it go cold. Like if yeah. But I don't think
Sbarro.
I don't think 345
But
Park
if somebody's like bringing
Sbarro.
It up from like Joe's in the Village, then
yeah, or like I mean that back then it was like peak Two Boots. So if you got some old Two Boots, and they had the meatball, what was it like the meatball barbecue bacon? If that's sitting in there, I don't care. I don't care if I'm getting fired. And it actually reminds me of this is almost nothing to do with this, but Mark Maron, who has the WTF podcast, right?
Mm-hmm.
He always told the story about trying out for Saturday Night Live, but he. The word around was like he was a big pothead and he wasn't dependable. And so when he auditioned, Lorne Michaels brought him in to his office and there was just this gigantic cup full of Reese's peanut butter cups. And Lorne Michaels didn't say anything to him and he just watched him look at the Reese's peanut butter cups and nobody said anything. And then after 10 minutes, he was just like, all right. And he grabbed a peanut butter cup. And then Lauren was like, okay, get out of here. Like, you're done. So,
that's insane.
Yeah. So that's how it went.
I guess that's why no one eats the pizza.
That's why you don't eat the pizza. Moral of the story.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by 3-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game, King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of
that. Like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying, tears, crying. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't it?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
All right, enough of all this meaningless stuff we've just been discussing. More than four, but fewer than six questions. It is time for Albert Breer to take the quiz here. Connor, do you even have it? I don't see you in the doc here. Do you even have this up? Don't lie to me. Don't you lie to me.
I would say...
Dramatic lighting.
Yeah, I would say no would be the answer. You know what the problem is? You work so this is your fault. No, I'm just kidding. It's not your fault. Okay. I have it up now. I have my personal, you work off of my personal Gmail drive and then I write off of my work Gmail drive.
Oh, really?
Sometimes. Okay. Depends on what's going down.
Okay. All right. Well, why don't you, I can't remember what we did. I think Peter was the last one who took the quiz. You want to take the odds? I'll take the evens.
I'll take the odds. That
okay.
works.
Go ahead.
All right, Albert. Question number one, the category is Gronkology in celebration of Rob Gronkowski's retirement. How many Gronkowskis played at least one snap in the NFL? This is not sanctioned by Gary, but I'm going to offer you 0.25 bonus points if you can name the Gronkowski brothers who played in the NFL.
I believe the number is three. And it's Dan and Chris also played in the league. And then the youngest, I believe, is Gordy. I don't think he made it to the NFL, but he played at Kansas State. And the oldest was a baseball player.
Incorrect.
Is it four?
The answer is four. You forgot about Glenn Gronkowski.
Glenn's the youngest one, but that's the one who played at Kansas State, right?
Yep, Glenn.
He made it to the league?
He did. He played, I just had his pro football
fullback,
reference thing
fullback up. For the Bills.
How many games did he play?
And he was on the New England practice squad. He won a Super Bowl.
Did he really?
Yes.
Wow. He played.
I knew Dan and Chris did, but I didn't know the youngest one did.
He played eight offensive snaps for the Bills in 2016.
And that's like his entire career was eight snaps?
I think he can remember all eight snaps.
Okay.
I saw him play in high school.
I'm disappointed in myself. He's he went to high school in Buffalo because Rob was the only one that like didn't go to high. He went to like his last year of high school was like in Pittsburgh or something.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, Glenn stayed up there in Western New York. West Seneca, maybe? Ooh. I might be misremembering. Amherst, West Seneca, Williamsville North. Okay,
He wasn't a Baldwinsville B, and that's all that matters.
Damn it, I'm disappointed in myself. That should have been a layup for me.
He's 0-1. Next one is geography. You, Albert Breer, famously or infamously... spurred Bill Belichick's on to Cincinnati catchphrase in, I think, 2014, right?
Yeah, it was when they won their first Super Bowl in 10 years. Made me look like a real genius. They had gotten blown out by the Chiefs. I actually think, so they got blown out by the Chiefs, and I was asking if they had done enough to build a champion around Tom Brady with him getting older. I don't think that they lost another game that year. They wound up winning three of the next five Super Bowls and playing four of the next five. So apparently they had done enough to build around Tom Brady.
Yeah. But that was that was the year of the famous on to Cincinnati press conference. My question to you is, what NFL city is closest to Cincinnati?
Indianapolis.
That is correct.
It's an hour and a half.
Yeah. I thought most people would have said Cleveland. Yeah.
The crown jewel. Good.
But I went to school in Columbus, so I like have like an idea of geography. Plus, I always do that drive during training camp. So,
okay. All right. Very good.
All right. Question number three, music and the arts. Albert, which band has more RIAA certified platinum records, the band Boston or the Mighty Mighty Bosstones?
What's the metro, the RIAA what?
Certified platinum. Which one has more platinum albums?
Platinum albums, okay. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say the Mighty Mighty Bosstones.
Ooh, that is incorrect.
Come on, Albert.
The Mighty Mighty Bosstones had one. My guess is for Knock on Wood, right?
Because I thought Boston was like kind of like a one hit one.
No, Boston had some hits. Boston's catalog was fairly deep. Gary and I got into a fight about who was it last week?
Numbers. It was the so we were doing two hit wonders.
I feel like the Mighty Mighty Bostons were around for longer than Boston. That's why I guess
they were around forever, but they just had the one breakthrough hit. The impression that I get that album, and then Boston just sort of Boston was big in like the 70s. The debate last week, Albert, and you will find this as laughable as I do because we're about the same age. Connor was trying to claim that The Offspring was a two hit wonder.
Oh,
and I was like, there were three hits on Smash.
No, there were they were around for a lot longer than that.
Yeah,
was that like right around 2000 maybe, right?
It was Come Out and Play was like mid 90s. I want to say like 94, 95, really? I think.
They were that far back?
I think so.
Yeah, Boston was More Than a Feeling. It was Amanda. It was Smokin', rock and roll band. I mean, I mean, there was that was the height of arena rock.
as Connor and I both know after reading their Wikipedia page 5 minutes ago.
I always remember the cover of the Greatest Hits record that was like a UFO landing
What was the album called? Was Jock Rock? That's what it was called, right? The albums that you could buy. Like, they had the commercials on TV, right?
Yes.
That's what it was, yeah.
Two different things. All right.
Now, that's what I call music volume 1, 2, 3. You guys
Boston,
remember that?
Boston was definitely on Now 1.
Yeah. It was the big Now, and then it had the underline that said, that's what I call music on it.
The one that came out in 76.
Yeah.
Question number four, this is fashion is the category. Pat Patriot, the iconic logo who formerly appeared on the Patriots helmets. What color is his hat?
Brown.
Oh. Mm. Red.
Is it red?
Red, Albert.
It's a tricorner.
It's a tricorner hat, but it's red.
Is it red?
Yeah.
God. So I just clinched the worst score, I think, right?
It depends what kind of bonus points. Time. Connor just goes rogue with the bonus points.
Yeah, I'm gonna.
We'll see.
I'll give you a chance to.
Is it red, really? I have it in my head as brown.
Yeah,
like that's what tri-corner.
It's all red, white, and blue. And I thought the thing that would trip you up is the current one, the Elvis logo, is blue on
the hat's blue. Yeah,
that was the curveball.
Okay, question number five, Moneyball category. Again, chance to earn some bonus points here. Albert, Ohio State has 6 alums attempting more than 300 passes in the NFL. Name the only one that has more touchdowns than interceptions in his entire career.
Mike Tomczak.
Oh, Kent Graham.
Tomczak is a good guess. Tomczak holds all the
Tomczak's got probably the most
records.
Yards, right? Huh?
Is that?
Yeah, oh yeah, Tomczak leads in everything cumulatively, but he was 88 touchdowns, 106 interceptions.
Everyone always says don't draft a quarterback from Notre Dame every year, but they at least had Joe Montana. Ohio State's best quarterback is Kent Graham.
There was a lot of promise for Art Schleister, man. If that thing hadn't gone, I mean, a lot of promise there.
Who was, there was the one, when I got NFL 2K, there was like right
Bobby
around.
Bobby Hoying?
It was right around
Joe Germain?
That time. Joe Germain, that's who it was.
Yeah.
And I
Joe Germain was the quarterback when I was a freshman
nice.
There. Yeah. Like, and he was the, this is a very interesting fact. In 1998, my freshman year, he was the Big Ten Offensive Player of the Year. Tom Brady was a starting quarterback at Michigan. Drew Brees was a starting quarterback at Purdue.
Do you want to feel old? Joe Germain is 46 now.
I mean, I'm 42, so like...
He stopped playing in 2010.
He played Arena League forever, I think.
Yeah, he was with the Rattlers. Right? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, because I do remember that. Like, that was... And I think he... I think he's one of these guys who, like, had, like, a... He parlayed his name into opening a bunch of car dealerships or something like that.
He's a successful high school football coach as well.
Okay.
Right now. But I always like that game. You know, what is the quarterback of the college, like my freshman year of college, doing now? Because I did that. I met up with some friends in LA, and some of them, I was like, man, I wonder what that guy's doing right now. And someone at this restaurant in LA knew the quarterback. And
let me see if I can. It's Syracuse?
Syracuse, my freshman year.
Okay, so I think you're 10 years younger than me, right? So you would have been like, I think you would have been like 08 would have been your freshman year?
06.
That's before Nassib, so that's.
Yeah, Nassib was my senior year, but it was Nassib and Greg Paulus.
Oh,
it was a Nassib.
Yeah.
Oh,
Greg Paulus.
Remember,
yeah.
Greg Paulus
had just gotten done playing point guard at Duke.
Yes, and then he transferred to come to Syracuse and play football.
Came in as a penniless man's Troy Nunes on that Syracuse
roster. I actually, you know, I like one of the most memorable games I covered, especially before I covered the NFL, but like was a BC Syracuse game in which Diamond Ferry, does that name ring a bell for either of you guys?
Of course.
Okay, so Diamond Ferry, who came out of Everett High School, had not been offered a scholarship out of high school from BC, basically had a vengeance game and played both ways and rushed for like 100. He was a safety for them, so he had like eight tackles, like a pick, like a pressure on defense, and then rushed for like 150 yards on offense. And really interesting part about that game was that was Matt Ryan's first start.
Wow.
As a player. Yeah.
That's a good factoid.
So like that was, I mean, my pre-NFL days, that was a pretty memorable one to cover. And yeah, my 1 year covering Boston College football before I started covering the Patriots.
Very cool. Yeah.
But Diamond Ferry.
Diamond Ferry. When I found out about and I actually don't know if I can even say this, so I will, we can't, let's not, well, whatever. I mean, everyone.
I don't think you've given us the name of the quarterback yet, though.
So, so I brought the player's name up, and then someone's like, yeah, he's like a Navy SEAL. And I was like, what? And he's like a black ops, like, fighting machine now.
So
pretty sweet.
Before you name the guy, I'm sure I'm going to kick myself for not knowing it, because around then, 2008, I was playing a lot of NCAA football on EA. So
were you playing Syracuse?
I mean, I'll tell you what, like, there was nothing that got you to know those rosters better, because you'd go and download all of them, like whatever they had, the memory cards or whatever. And yeah, there were some holes in the walls of my apartment from like throwing controllers, playing against my buddies and everything else. Who's the quarterback?
Andrew Robinson.
That name does sound familiar. That's interesting. Huh. So that would have been between Nunes and Nassib.
Yeah.
Because Nunes was like wasn't Nunes the immediate successor to McNabb, or am I wrong about
that? Yes, Nunes was, because I was there for McNabb, and Nunes started, I think he was like a sophomore when I graduated, so it would have been like, I think 03 was his last year.
Okay.
That's really, it goes Nunes to Nassib until the next, the next kind of okay dude who will emerge as your quarterback.
Ryan,
yeah,
mine,
my two were Joe Germain and Steve Belisari. And then Steve Belisari, my senior year, got a DUI outside of a bar down the street from my house. And he wound up, and then Craig Krenzel got his first start because of that. Craig Krenzel wound up winning the national title next year.
Oh, wow. I'm on the Syracuse starting quarterbacks page. Andrew Robinson, Cam Dantley, Perry Patterson. Gary, do you remember Perry Patterson?
Oh, I remember Perry Patterson, absolutely.
Oh. That name sounds familiar. Wasn't he big? He's like, he's a huge, right? Wasn't he?
He was a big dude. I think he spent a camp with the Bills, I think, after he was done.
One of my favorite Perry Patterson moments of the Greg Robinson era was we're playing touch football behind our dorm, and my roommate just third down concession punted, and he yelled Perry Patterson, and he just punted the ball because if I'm not mistaken, Perry Patterson concession punted in a game, like one of our first games freshman year, and everyone was just like, "Oh God, this is much worse than
like
we
a
thought.
Pooch punt, like you know, like the direct snap pooch punt."
It was Joe Judgian, almost.
God, that's a bad thing to have your name associated with.
It is, and it's not fair. It's not fair. Joe is in like 5 years is going to be the head coach of the Seahawks and win like 11 Super Bowls, and we're all going to feel like idiots. Because that Giants team was really bad. It was really bad.
He's going to be head coach of the Seahawks with Tom Brady at quarterback, Julian Edelman at receiver, and Rob Gronkowski at tight end. That's where they're going.
That's it.
There it is.
The MMQB NFL podcast is Connor Orr and me, Gary Gremling. We are produced by Shelby Royson. SI's executive producer of podcasts is Scott Rohde, and our senior podcast producer is Dan Bloom. Mark Mravick is emeritus editor of the MMQB. Super Bowl champion Andy Benoit is the founder of the MMQB NFL podcast. Be sure to subscribe to this feed on Apple Podcasts, and once you do, please leave a rating and review because it really does help other people find the show, which is also available on Spotify, Stitcher, SI.com, and wherever else you listen to podcasts.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Thank you for traveling with Amex Platinum. To your right, you'll see Oceanside Relaxation at a fine hotel and resort property. When booked through Amex Travel, you can enjoy complimentary breakfast for 2 and 4 p.m. late checkout. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Pistol Puma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.